Well, take out your grace notes. It's in your bulletin. We're going to talk about the future resurrections. We are continuing our prophecy series, What in the World Will Happen Next? And today, we're going to look at the order of the resurrections. I'm doing this teaching series because I think it's important for us to know what is going to happen down the road. What's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to receive his church? That's what we started with, the rapture, millions missing. And then we talked about the fact that we'll be raptured before the tribulation. And then we talked about the resurrection body. As believers, that we're going to have a new body. It's going to be like his glorious body. We talked about that. And then today, when does all that happen? What are the order of the resurrections? Because there is not just one general resurrection for everybody. We will see that as we get into the message tonight. It's important to understand that every person born since the creation of the world will have a resurrection body. These bodies are not fit for eternity. And so everyone who's ever been born since the creation of the world will have a resurrection body, but not all will share the same destiny. It's important for you to understand that. Some will have eternal life with God, and others will suffer eternal torment in the lake of fire. Some will be resurrected to the resurrection of life, and others will be resurrected to what the Bible calls the resurrection of damnation. I want to look at two scriptures to begin our discussion, which at first glance seem to teach that there is a general resurrection, a resurrection for everybody at the same time. One is in the Old Testament, one is in the New Testament. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, and then John 5, 28 and 29. So if you don't have your Bibles handy, that's okay. Hope you do, but let me read the scripture in Daniel 12. Verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And he's talking about Michael the archangel, in case you are wondering. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time, speaking of the tribulation period. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Important words. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And then in the book of John, chapter 5, Jesus' words, beginning in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And don't misunderstand what Jesus was saying there. You don't go to heaven because you're good, and you don't go to hell because you're bad. You go to heaven or hell based on what you do with Jesus Christ. Amen? Because when it talks about they that have done good, Jesus later said that when what is good, because to believe on him who he has sent, so to believe on Christ. Both believers and unbelievers will have a tangible resurrection body. We know that also from the actual account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Some people call that a parable. Jesus never used real names in a parable. It is the actual account of two men who died and each went to a different place. And what did the rich man in hell say? I am tormented in this flame. You need to understand that both believers and unbelievers will be resurrected with a tangible resurrected body. However, the destiny of each will be different. So let's talk, number one, about the kinds of resurrection. And I've pretty much already tipped you off as to what those are. But in Scripture, two different kinds of resurrection are anticipated in God's program. The first, or A, is the resurrection to life. The resurrection to life. There are a number of passages which teach this distinctive part of the resurrection program. And I want you to listen to these verses carefully. Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said this, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The word just there is the idea of those who are righteous, who have been justified in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be just before God, and that is through Jesus Christ. So he's talking here about the resurrection of the just. And then in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and verse number 10 and 11, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And you need to understand that the phrase there, the resurrection out from the dead, it's actually ek, the Greek word ek means out, and then nekron is death, like necrosis is the death of tissue. So ek nekron means out from the dead. It speaks of a distinction, a separation from the others that are dead. So that is Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 35, it talks about the great heroes of faith, and it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So that speaks also of a distinction. And then perhaps the capstone of them all is in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So if there's a first resurrection, that means there's more than one, correct? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this first resurrection then has to happen before the 1,000-year period of time, which is called the millennial kingdom, so that these who are raised can reign with Christ. So before this 1,000-year period of time, there is what's called the first resurrection. Actually, the first resurrection includes not only the rapture, but those who are resurrected at the end of the tribulation when Christ comes back at the second coming. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Finally, again, in John 5:28 and 29, we see there's a distinction between the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. So these verses suggest a separation, a resurrection of a portion of those who have died, leaving some of the dead unchanged, while these who are resurrected undergo a complete transformation. This resurrection is called the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, the resurrection to life. And it includes all who at any time have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's for those who are born again, those who are saved, those who have trusted Christ, who have received him. Those who have done that will be a part of this resurrection to life. And I trust that everybody I'm talking to today is in that group. Amen. You want to be in that group, the resurrection to life. But then there is, secondly, the resurrection to damnation. The resurrection to damnation. Scripture anticipates another part of the resurrection program that deals with the unsaved. And this is the second resurrection after the 1,000 years. And it is talked about, of course, in Revelation chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles handy, turn there to Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. So in Revelation 20, what we have is after the return of Christ, which takes place in Revelation 19, you have Revelation 20 where Satan is bound in the pit for 1,000 years. And you have the millennial kingdom. Verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So inasmuch as the first resurrection is completed before the thousand-year reign, the dead here who did not live again till the thousand years were finished refers to those who will go before the great white throne judgment. Verse 11, look at this. Revelation 20, verse 11, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." I want you to notice, stop there just a minute. I want you to notice there are more than one book. There's the book of life. That has the names of all the saved. In ancient cities, every city had a book of the living. It was like a census. And if you were an undesirable citizen, they could blot you out of that book. There's a promise there in Revelation 3. To those who overcome, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. That's an assurance. But there's other books here, and those are the books of works. That's why it says the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Every evil deed. Remember what Jesus said, every evil thought, every evil deed, every idle word that men speak will give an account at the day of judgment. God has perfect records. So these who are condemned at the great white throne will have all of this as testimony against them. Verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Notice verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is why the Bible says in Daniel 12:2 that some will be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, it's not the timing that determines who is raised when, but rather the destiny of those who are raised. Some will be raised to everlasting life. All who are saved from the beginning of creation to the second coming of Christ will be get their resurrected bodies at the beginning of the millennium. When Christ comes back right after the second coming, they'll get theirs right here. 1,000 years later, the rest of the dead who weren't a part of that first resurrection, 1,000 years later, they're resurrected also, but this time to go into the lake of fire. So let's take a look to see the distinction here as far as the timing. So I want you to see, number two, the timing of the resurrections. We see the kind of resurrections, and there's two. There's the resurrection to life and the resurrection to damnation. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, all right? But let's look at the timing, because while the Old Testament clearly taught the fact of the resurrection, even Job talked about that, as we said last week, "I know that in my flesh I shall see God, though after this skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God." Job had the hope of, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand at the latter day upon the earth." All these Old Testament saints look forward to a resurrection. But theirs is going to be different than ours as New Testament saints. So we'll look at that. Because were it not for the revelation contained in the New Testament, one might well conclude that there is one general resurrection for everybody. But that is not the case. It's clear that the saved and the unsaved will not be resurrected at the same time. So let's talk about three groups. First of all, A, church saints. And by church saints, I mean everyone who has been saved since the day of Pentecost. If you have been saved since the day of Pentecost, you are a church saint or a New Testament saint. All right. When does our resurrection occur? At the rapture. When the Lord comes in the air to receive the church and resurrects all believers in Christ, both alive and those who are dead in Christ. Jesus said this in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's speaking to his disciples on the night before he's crucified. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And when he says, "I will receive you unto myself," that's the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those believers who had died in Christ, "that you sorrow not," he said, "even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So notice, when does that resurrection take place? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Someone said, why do they have to go first? Because they have 6 feet further to go. I don't know. It's just the Bible says they're going to go first. And then we which are alive will be caught up together with them, caught up, harpazo, raptured, translated, will be transformed in the moment, in twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, those who have died must put on incorruption, and this mortal, those who are still living, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the first part of that first resurrection is the church saints. And we go at the rapture, before the tribulation. We've already talked about that, so I don't need to go back over that territory. If you missed it, those messages are archived on our website and also on Facebook and YouTube. But that's the first part of the first resurrection, church saints. The second one is tribulation and Old Testament saints. Tribulation and Old Testament saints. I'm talking about the patriarchs. I'm talking about Moses, David, the prophets, whoever trusted in the God of Israel by faith, and the tribulation saints as well. Now, when does the resurrection for them occur? At the second coming, just prior to the millennial kingdom, so they can go in and reign with Christ. Again, Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. These are the tribulation martyrs, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead, the unsaved, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God, and of Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again, notice the phrase, the rest of the dead, referring to those left in the realm of the dead when that first resurrection is completed at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this passage teaches very clearly that 1,000 years will separate those two resurrections, the resurrection unto life versus the resurrection unto damnation. And Daniel 12, again, verses 1 and 2, gives confirmation that the Old Testament saints will be raised. It doesn't give the time element because that was a New Testament teaching. But Isaiah 26 and verse 19 also is a verse that I think bears some light about this. In Isaiah 26, 19, the prophet said, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So we know that these Old Testament saints will be resurrected. They're not a part of that resurrection unto damnation, but they're not a part of the church either. So they will not be raised at the rapture. They will be raised along with the tribulation martyrs at the end of the tribulation, the beginning of the millennium kingdom. And then there's a third group, and then we've kind of already talked about this, but that's the unregenerate. Those who have not been born again, those who have not been saved, all who have failed to trust in Christ alone for forgiveness of sins from the creation of the world until the end of the millennial kingdom. Now, we know that there will be people born into the millennium. There will be people living on earth during the millennial kingdom, and we'll talk about the millennium in a future message. But when are they raised? Well, obviously, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it obviously would be at the end of the millennium. But the Bible doesn't tell us really when the millennial saints are raised. But we know that they are not a part of this judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 speaks about the great white throne judgment. And again, if I could draw your attention to verse 11. and I saw a great white throne. Now, it's interesting, just an aside, if you'll go back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4, look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon, let's go to verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. I want you to notice that phrase here. This is speaking about what we as saints will see. The rainbow round. Now, what was the rainbow? It was God's sign that he would, his covenant with Noah, that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. So this is a sign of a covenant. This is a sign of mercy and grace. But I want you to notice when the picture is given us of the throne in Revelation 21, pardon me, 20 verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. There is no mention of a rainbow here because there is no mercy at this judgment. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's not going to be any place to go. There's not any place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Let me stop there for just a minute. When it talks about the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, we know that if a believer dies today, the Bible says to be absent in the body is what? To be present with the Lord, right? 2 Corinthians 5:8. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, Philippians chapter 1. We know that when a believer dies, just like Saint Lazarus, he died and he was in the Abraham's bosom, which is a place like heaven. He was in that place in paradise. And what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. So we know that they put that thief's body in Gehenna, the fire pit there, that was constantly burning the trash heap because they wouldn't afford criminals a decent burial. But his soul and spirit went to be with the Lord in paradise. But at the same time, this rich man died, and in hell, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. So look at a person today commits a crime. They go to the county jail, and then they are arraigned before a judge and sentenced, and then they go probably either back to the jail or back to prison or to a state or federal prison. All right, hell is like the county jail. A person dies without Christ, they go to hell. That's a holding place until they are arraigned. The arraignment is the great white throne. At the great white throne, they are judged and sentenced to the eternal lake of fire. That's why it says death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The most important thing in life is to make sure that your name is in the book of life. Amen. Nothing else really matters. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Notice the dead, small and great. There's going to be unknowns and well-knowns who are going to stand at this great white throne and be judged by God. There's an interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 22. Isaiah 66, 22. And these are the last words of Isaiah. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. What the prophet is saying there, and Jesus alluded to this, by the way, in Mark chapter 9 three times, when he said that those who are unsaved will go into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He quoted from this passage three times in Mark chapter 9. But national Israel will have a never-ending existence through the millennium. It talks about celebrating the new moon and the Sabbaths and the new earth throughout all of eternity. But the corpses of those who are enduring everlasting torment will serve as a vivid reminder to all of the terrible consequences of rebellion against God. And in referring to this verse in Mark 9, Jesus referred to the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, which was the continually burning trash heap. And that pictures the pain of the lost. In Revelation 14 and verse number 9, we read these words, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Well, my friend, if you are listening to me today and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, what I just read is the fate that awaits you unless you repent and believe. You say, well, you know, let me tell you something. God does not want you to go there. The Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. But let me tell you what he won't do. He won't violate your will. He won't force you to believe in him. He will invite you. He will even beg you. I beg you, come to Christ. But he will not make you follow him. He will not make you receive him. That's your choice. Revelation 21, which follows the great white throne judgment, which speaks of the new heavens and the new earth. And it speaks about that celestial city. And we like to look at that and read about that place that has streets of gold and like transparent glass and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And we like to think, but you know, the most important part to me is that's where Jesus is. You know, that's the most important thing. I'm going to see my Savior. But it talks about this great celestial city, the walls, the gates, and all these different parts. And it's very much like an earthly city, yet very different from any earthly city. But here's what verse 27 says, Revelation 21:27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Again, to have access to that heavenly city, my friend, you have to have your name in the book of life. And your name is in the book of life when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of life is simply a divine journal containing the names of all of those who have been saved by grace through faith. And I remember one time in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus' disciples, the 70 actually, it says the 70 went out on a preaching tour, and they cast out devils and they did miracles and they came back to Jesus and they were so excited. And they picked up on one thing. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name." And Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, "In this rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." If your name is written in heaven today, you've got good reason to rejoice. Amen. You've got good reason to praise God if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, because Jesus said he will not blot it out. Once your name is in the book of life, it's there forever if you're a believer. Amen. He will not blot your name out of the book of life. You can rejoice if your name is written there, but if your name is not written there, you need to repent today. That means change your mind, turn around, and trust Christ as your Savior. John 3:16, you know it, don't you? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, if you haven't trusted Christ, you're already condemned. The only thing that is saving you from that condemnation is your heart right now that's still beating. But if you die in your sins, you will stand at that great white throne and you will hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you." It's not what God wants. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to trust Him. But you have to do that from your heart. The Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him with your mouth as your Savior, you shall be saved, right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Let me tell you something, friend. You want to be in that first group. Amen. That first resurrection, whether it's the rapture, and of course everyone today, you know, that would be, if you're saved, that's the rapture. The Old Testament tribulation saints, they'll be raptured at the end of the tribulation, just before the millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years. They'll reign with Christ 1,000 years. And remember what Jesus said, that you're going to come, many are going to come, and they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom. See, those Old Testament saints are going to be raised up to enjoy the millennial kingdom too, just as we read in Isaiah 66. But the rest of the dead live not again to the 1,000 years. You don't want to be in that group. You want to be in the group that's going to be in that first resurrection. And so today, I want to encourage you. There is not just one general resurrection for everybody where everyone goes up at the same time and God sorts them all out. No, there's not happen like that. There's the rapture. Then there's the tribulation and Old Testament saints. And then there's the third group, and that's the unregenerate at the great white throne. We may do a message, an entire message on the great white throne. I don't know. I'm still working on where we're going to go. I can tell you next Sunday we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, because that's the next thing to happen after the rapture. We're raptured. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want to go ahead and read ahead, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of the passages we'll be looking at next week. I just want to implore you today, if you're here without Jesus, don't gamble with your eternal soul. If I handed you today a revolver, a 45 caliber revolver, and put one slug in it and spun the cylinder, and I said, "I'll give you $1 million if you put it to your head and pull the trigger," would you do it?
No.
You say, not in your life, preacher. I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world. Don't gamble with your eternal soul. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Make sure you're saved today. Father, thank you for giving us a record of what's to happen in the future. Thank you, first of all, for the fact that you sent your Son so that we could be saved. You didn't have to. You could have let us die in our sins and be perfectly just. But you made that reconciliation possible so that we could be reconciled to you through the death of your Son. To those who reject the blood of Christ and His sacrifice, they will meet a fiery indignation. And Lord, some don't care. There are some that are so hardened that they say, "I can't wait to go to hell and party with my friends." And Lord, they're so blinded and so duped by Satan, they can't even see how horrible and terrible that fate will be. But there are others who maybe they've just been mistaught. Maybe they just kind of feel like, "God, you're just going to gloss over all of our problems and all of our sins and all of our failures. And you're just going to say, well, that's okay. Just come on in anyway." Lord, that's not going to happen. And to those who are seeking, to those today who have a heart that's convicted, about their need of Christ. I pray they would come today. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to them about their need of a Savior. Whether they're here in this auditorium or whether they're watching online, God, today, if they have never made peace with you through the blood of Christ's cross, have never been justified, never been saved, never been born again, never been converted, whatever phrase we want to put on it, they've never been changed by the grace of God, and that their name is not in the book of life, that can happen today. And I pray, Lord, today you'd have your will and way in every heart. Help every Christian today to rejoice. Help every unsaved person, God, today to repent and trust in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.